This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 127 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stuffgold.
Hashtag 127. What's up, Tristan? What's up, everybody? Who we got?
We're clocking up these episodes.
Yeah, man. We need to start. Yeah, 127. They keep building. I remember 27. I remember 7. I remember the first one. Super stoked about it.
Hell yeah. Now, today's special guest is Pete Evans. Pete, an absolute celebrity here in Australia. He is a host and a judge on My Kitchen Rules. He is a renowned chef. And at the moment, plenty of media coverage for his paleo beliefs.
Yeah, businessman, restaurateur, celebrity chef, media personality. Whenever you open yourself up like that, you become vulnerable to a lot of scrutiny. But this guy, more than anything, his intent, his heart's in the right place, and you know he just wants to help people. So we're stoked to bring a different side of Pete Evans to his fans. They know this side, to people tuning in who maybe you know only know him for his words or his philosophies on bone broth, paleo, etc. We're stoked to show you a different side of Pete Evans.
Definitely. So, guys, really appreciate you tuning into the show. Remember, you can subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. The 5-star reviews if you've got an iPhone or you're on your desktop on your iTunes. If you can really just leave us a 5-star review, really just helps us grow. That's the easiest way for me and Johnny to continue to grow the Vision Board Podcast.
Yeah, we can't thank you guys enough. People from Sydney, people from Melbourne, all of Australia, slowly jumping on board. You know, initially we started this journey with a lot of Americans and everybody listening, wherever you're living in the world, man, keep supporting us, keep bringing to the table, stay in contact with us, and tell your friends about the Vision Board.
Definitely, guys. So here's our special guest, Pete Evans. All right, our special guest is Pete Evans. Pete is an international renowned chef, entrepreneur, restaurateur, author, and television personality, where he's a judge on the hit show My Kitchen Rules. He's known for his passion in health and food and is also a known advocate of the paleo way. We welcome Pete Evans. Pete, welcome to the show, man.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Excellent, Pete. Thanks for stopping by the Vision Board. This is a part of the show where Tristan and I really like asking our guests basically a question of intent on what, you know, how you got into what you're doing. And with you, Pete, were you drawn to the kitchen at a young age? Was it business while you got into the restaurant industry? And could you share some insight to our fans? What got you started on this path?
Good question. Actually, no, I learned how to cook basically to learn a life skill. And there actually wasn't that much passion there to start with. It was it was to get a job. And to learn something that would benefit me for the rest of my life. And I looked at all the trades that were available out there, building, plumbing, electrical work, or hairdressing, or butcher. And cooking just seemed to make the most sense to me at that point of time in my life. I was about 17, and it just resonated with me a hell of a lot. And but I didn't think I was going to go and do this as a career for the rest of my life. It was basically, let's get a trade behind me. I'll always be able to fall back and get a job cooking if I need to, and then I'll work out what I want to do with my life a little bit further down. But one thing led to another, and talking about intent, I was about 19, and I read Anthony Robbins' brilliant book, Unlimited Power, at the time, and then subsequently I read Awaken the Giant Within. And from that was sort of the turning point for me. It was about working out how to use intention and working out how to set goals and create and thinking about your dreams and your hopes and setting timelines on what you'd like to achieve. And as I say, the rest is history. And that was a huge part of my ongoing journey.
So you just actually, with everything that you do now, you know, setting goals for you must be a difficult task. What's on your radar right now?
More of the same, actually. It's becoming a little bit more selfish orientated. It's about spending time with my family, especially my wife and my daughters. The more time I can connect with them, and of course, the intention always is to maximize the time that we do, maximize the energy and the love that we have with the amount of time that we have together. So I know a lot of people might have more time, but possibly are a little bit disconnected from their loved ones. So it's always important, I think, to have that intention that when you do have the time, to be fully present and to create lasting and loving memories with the people that you love the most. And so that's the focus at the moment, and as far as from a business or career model, it's continue to learn, continue to ask the more and more questions from the people that I respect, and to keep expanding my own knowledge, and then working out ways in which to spread that message to a larger audience.
Pete, we chat a lot about comfort zones and, you know, putting ourselves in these positions of growth through being uncomfortable. The transition for you when you were first pitched or offered to be on TV, on national TV, was this an easy transition for you, or was this difficult initially?
Oh, that's a great question. to be brutally honest, I couldn't think of anything worse to do with my life than being in front of the camera. I just, for me, it wasn't so much the exposure. Well, I guess it was the exposure, but it really brought up a lot of fears and insecurities about myself and my own limiting beliefs about who I was and my place on the planet. I had major limiting self-beliefs and fears about being listened to, I'm not important enough, and my voice doesn't matter. It goes back as simple as this. I remember my father used to saying to me that children should be seen and not heard. And it's these type of, you know, throwaway comments that sometimes you hear over and over and over from the people that are meant to be supporting you and building you up and giving you love, that I guess hurt the most and really help shape who you are. And I mean, that simple comment about children should be seen and not heard, I think is probably one of the most damaging things you could ever say to any other human being in the world. And I'm sure that a lot of people that are listening out there have probably heard it themselves from people that are meant to be their support group and their guides and their mentors. So, So when I was offered the opportunity to host the TV program, I said, no, thank you. It just, it brought up too much negativity in me, because I was a very, very, very shy person and very introverted. And I honestly believe that I had nothing of value to add to anybody's experience or anyone's life. And so, yeah. Talking about stepping out of the comfort zone, I didn't put myself out of my comfort zone then. It was a week later and somebody asked me again if I'd like to host another show. And at that time, when it was the second time, I'd read a bit of Deepak Chopra. Chris's work, for instance, and funnily enough, that week I was reading about synchrodestiny or synchronicity. And synchrodestiny is another wonderful word, so to speak, as when certain things or certain coincidences start to manifest themselves, that it's the universe basically tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, listen, there's something to learn in here, or there's an opportunity for you to have self-growth. And I looked at that for the when the second opportunity came, and I went, you know what, bugger it. This is the universe asking me to get out of my comfort zone, and I better give it a shot, because if I don't, who knows what the universe has in store for me if I don't actually man up and give this a go.
Yeah, and Pete, during that time when that opportunity presented itself, could you share with us a little insight before that, the type of work you were putting in? Because it sounds to me, when the universe does present us with these amazing opportunities, you really have to have had, like, paved the way, and you weren't just sitting back on a couch, were you?
No. And that was the other thing. I was deeply entrenched in my own restaurants, and I'm a trained chef. And at that period of time, I was about 28 years old or 27 years old, and I was running one restaurant in particular, but I'd also opened three restaurants that were operating at the time. So I was working about 80 to 100 hour working weeks each and every week of the year, except for one where I'd go off on a surfing holiday for a week or 10 days a year. So I was fully entrenched in my own endeavors, and at that period of time, it was about creating a successful kitchen team. And I was also putting myself out of my comfort zone during that period, because as a kid, I never felt like I was creative. So one thing I really wanted to push myself during those years was to become a creative chef and get out of my comfort zone and believe that I could create new recipes and new techniques and new experiences for our diners. So I was fully in that world of that type of pushing out of the comfort zone. And it was a wonderful experience for me, because I also had limiting beliefs about my own creative, my own way that I could create and manifest different ideas into the universe. And so when the TV opportunity came, I was like, wow, I'm really going to push myself now. And I've managed to do it so far, so good. Tap on wood.
Yeah, you're fine. Pete, when those lights come on, is there something that just switches on inside your head? Just, you know, because when you're in a TV, you just come across as, you know, a very, very confident guy, and, you know, you spoke about being shy, and is there something, because it just reminds me of something like someone like Anthony Mundine as well. Like, we've met Anthony in the flesh, and he's very, very quiet, but
very shy.
And then obviously, you know, he's a master of marketing, and when those lights come on, you know, something happens to Anthony as well, and he's very entertaining. Is that something similar for yourself?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I never like to compare myself to other people, so and I think that's the first thing that I'd like to advise people to do, is never compare yourself to anyone else, because there's always someone that's faster or smarter or better at this, that, or the other. So it's an ongoing part of disappointing yourself if you're always comparing yourself. I think every individual on the planet is unique, and everybody has the capacity for unconditional love and acceptance and for personal growth. So I tend to not try to compare myself with other people, and that took me a while to learn that as well. And something I'm teaching my own children is be proud of who you are, and that you know, it doesn't matter if you're first or last. It's just how do you feel about whatever you go into. But going into the TV, it took me many, many years to actually feel a sense of comfort being in there. Talk about being out of your comfort zone. I was out of my comfort zone for six or 7 years.
Wow.
But I also, during that period, because I knew that it was a new craft and a new experience, and so many brought up so many different issues for me, that I sought out different teachers and different mentors that I could talk to and draw upon their tools or their experiences to help me understand my own limiting self-beliefs. And I've used different therapies over the course of my life so far, and they come in the form of kinesiology, energetic healing, spiritual guidance, meditation techniques, visualization, color therapy, sound therapy, you name it. I've done everything that's on offer that I could find to help expand my own not only consciousness but also my own understanding of who I am in this experience that we're having in this earth suit at the moment.
Yeah. Just with some of those mentors, can you share who a couple of those were and a couple of things that they might have shown you?
It's an ongoing experience. So, I've been seeking guidance from different practitioners and different therapists over the last 25 years. So, and I've probably seen maybe 100 different people over that time. But each, and I don't like to, again, say you should see this person or that person. What I like to say is whatever it is that you're interested in, have an open mind, have an open spirit, and you will sort of, once you put the intention out there that you would like some guidance or some mentorship or some connection with different therapists or different people out there, and they don't actually have to be trained professionals that have a certain label after their name. It can be a chance encounter with someone you're sitting on the plane with that you might be just discussing being a parent with, and you might take on some of their wisdom in that encounter, and it can be the most profound thing that you've heard all year, and they might not be a guru, for instance, or a teacher. Well, they are a teacher because you're having a conversation with them. So, again, I don't want to say this person or that person or did that, because I think dissolves or loses a little bit of the magic behind our existence of life. So I'm going a little bit esoterical here for you, but I think that it's where I need to take it. Sorry.
No, it's very important, and we appreciate it. Just to give you a little insight, we did an interview yesterday, and with a very in-tuned spiritual teacher, and he took Tristan and I during the interview on a chanting mantra for the first. I had never done anything like it, and we got to experience that type of stillness, and just it kind of opened our eyes on different platforms. I wanted to kind of shift a little bit. Because, Pete, when we put ourselves in these scenarios of being vulnerable or in the public's eye, people come out of the woodwork, and we put ourselves in these scenarios to be judged. For our listeners at home, could you kind of give them some advice on overcoming some adversity, maybe some things that work for you that help you, like, kind of filter through the trolls and the haters?
Sure, and I never like to use the word trolls or haters, because you're placing a judgment on somebody or some sort of energy that's out there. I always see it, if where you're coming from is any negative or perceived negative comment out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Or judgment that people have on yourself. And I always look at it that it is, it's just a reflection of their own journeys and their own issues that they potentially need to maybe be working through or also have some guidance or self-love about. And that's why I'm very cautious about, you talked about your chanting yesterday, and fantastic, because that opens up, that talks about, as we talked about before, sound therapy talks about a ritual or a meditative state. And I don't believe there's one thing that works for every person. And I do believe that, and that's why I'm very cautious to say, hey, listen, you all should be meditating, or you all should be chanting, we all should be going into the ocean. It's important that the listeners find what resonates to them, and that may also change as they go through this journey of life. So, for instance, the chanting might be a wonderful introduction for someone that needs help with quieting their mind, but meditation or the traditional form of meditation might seem to not be working for them. So the chanting might be great because they can get into this rhythmic, energetic flow, and they might go, you know what, that's actually helped me, as you said, open up a different realm for me. So I'd like to advise people to be curious about what is out there, and for them to be curious about what resonates for them, because I've done certain things and over the time that I've gone, you know what, that really wasn't for me, but then maybe 5 years later I've tried it again and gone, you know what, that actually is resonating a lot better for me now, and I understand why that is working for me now and it didn't work for me then. So so the best thing we can be is curious, and I also think that's probably where the negative energy that you might be alluding to from people is that they potentially are curious about what we're talking about. Say if we're talking about paleo or talking about fluoride or getting vitamin D, they're curious about it, but they still don't understand because they've got a fear-based mentality or energetic connection about it, because it might be something that they've heard in the media, or they've heard from their mother or father, or they've heard from a doctor, or they've had a friend that has had melanoma, or they've had a friend that has gone vegetarian, or this, that, and the other. So it's a very multifaceted approach. But to answer your question, and I tend to rant sometimes, but I try to...
It's all good.
It's all good, brother.
Keep going.
I try to take you on different tangents, but I don't think you should give too much attention to the negativity, if we're going to call it that, because it is just a simple reflection, or you're a mirror for what people need to potentially be working through on their own journey. So it doesn't really worry me, but it also gives me great hope that these people will look inwards and find out why the information that we're talking about is reacting, or they're having a reaction to it so strongly, because straight away that means that there's something in them that they've got to work out for themselves. Because if it wasn't reacting, or they weren't reacting to it so strongly, then that inner voice in them they'll never understand why it's there.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah, Pete, you mentioned synchronicity earlier, and I wanted to share a little story about that. And it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think it was the night of the full moon. It was a Friday. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. I think about 32 degrees. And all of my colleagues and myself, we went to North Bondi. You know, we were waiting for this drum circle to take place. And the sun was setting. And as I'm walking down to the beach to get into the water, a guy walks by me with a surfboard with a little kid. And I think to myself, I'm like, wow, man, that guy looks happy. And then the girl I was with, she goes, that's Pete Evans. You know, the guy, my kitchen rules. And I thought to myself, oh, we're going to be talking to Pete in a couple weeks. And it just was a good story to segue. You know, we hear happiness a lot. And man, I never met you in person. I walked by you. You resonated that as I walked by you. How would you define what happiness is?
Oh, that's a good question. Generally, it's when you can have a laugh at yourself, number one. But really, what is happiness? I mean, we're so fixated on success, I think, over happiness. And people always talk about success, and I always throw it back at them and say, well, define what success is for you. Mm. You know, success for me is happiness and healthiness, and being in a state of health with
really isn't much more that we can aspire to than inner peace and happiness and inner health for ourselves and for our loved ones. And I think once that becomes priority, without obsessing over it, but just letting it happen, then other elements of our life generally will radiate into. So if you're talking about career or wealth or relationships as well, they'll all start to blossom. But we know there's a one constant thing about life is that it has changed there, and there's always another challenge around the corner or another opportunity to grow. So just when you think you've got it all worked out, you know, the universe will come along and go, guess what? We've got something for you to learn from here. And sometimes you're just like, can we just enjoy this moment for a minute?
Yeah, it could definitely be compiling.
Definitely.
But, you know, we probably wouldn't be here on this existence if we were vibrating at our perfect frequency. I think we'd be on another dimension somewhere else. But happiness for me is just like you said, walking down the beach with my kids or with my wife, with the anticipation that we're about to have a wonderful experience together in the surf, or whether it's going to a movie, or whether it's going shopping and buying some food for us, and knowing we're going to go home and cook up a meal, and then have a dance or whatever it may be. You know, that's it, and enjoying that moment when it happens. You know, I've always had the philosophy that if we can wake up with anticipation that we're going to have a fantastic day, or that we can deal with any challenges that arise throughout the day, and then we go to bed at the night time and we've confronted those challenges to the best of our ability throughout the day, then I think you can think that you've had a pretty good day on earth.
That's right, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome perspective.
Hey, Pete, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Obviously, me and Johnny, we both love food. You know,
yep.
I want to cook for my mum on Sunday night.
Uh-oh.
Now. Okay. So give me, you know, it's not every day we get access to one of the best chefs in the world.
In the world, yeah, man.
So on the spot, give me a little recipe that I can cook for my family on Sunday night, man.
Well, first I'd ask you, what do they like to eat? I think that's the most important thing, is know your audience or know your customer. And it's something that after working for 30 years in this cooking industry, that's the key. And a lot of chefs have ego to show off.
Yeah.
And that's all because they've done their training, they've done their hard yards, they don't want to show off. But sometimes people show off without actually understanding why they're in that position. So I always see the role of a cook or as a chef or someone that prepares food for someone else as a gift. So you tap into the essence of that. It's like, well, who are you cooking for? What present would they love? You know, so if mum's coming over and she loves simple food, it could be a roast. I would cook her a bloody good roast.
Yeah.
You know, if she loves Asian food, then I'd do a delicious Asian-inspired menu for her. And it doesn't have to be three courses. It can just be one beautiful stir-fry or a curry or a salad, depending on what season it is or what you've got access locally.
Actually, my mum loves spicy food. She loves the curries, mate. Have you got anything on hand that you can kind of drop?
Yeah, curry. Well, then I'd say, well, does she love Indian? Does she love Vietnamese? Does she love Thai? Does she like a little bit of Sichuan Chinese? Does she like South African?
I'm getting hungry.
Because then you're opening up the door. Then it comes down to then what do you want to cook?
Yeah.
What inspires you? What's gonna make you happy? Because I always remember that show or the movie called Chocolat.
Yes.
And,
good movie.
And this is something that you know, going on a deeper level, you see chefs like Gordon Ramsay yelling and screaming. And I would never go to a restaurant where a chef was cooking, screaming and yelling at his staff, because the vibrational energy of that realm is just one of fear and intimidation and, geez, I don't want to fuck up. Whereas I would prefer to go to a place where the chef or the cook is cooking with love. And this is my mantra, is cook with love and laughter. So I'd go back to you, buddy, and I'd say, whatever you cook, cook with love and laughter. Give your mum some sort of spicy dish. If she loves a curry, then find a curry that you want to cook as well, that you're both going to enjoy. So if your mum loves prawns and you love prawns, then here we go, we're going to do a prawn curry. And then work out, where do you want to take it? Are we going to do an Indonesian one? No, that might be too much hard work. Shall we just do a simple little Indian one? Or maybe I might do a Malaysia little laksa. So it's not too spicy, but it's really simple. And we're going to get the turmeric, we're going to get coconut cream. Nice. I can do it in 10 minutes.
This is awesome. Keep going.
That's what runs through my mind every time I cook. And usually, because we're supercomputers, we come up with an answer within about 30 seconds.
Pete, is that your point of difference, the way you think in terms of, you're the first chef that I've kind of really spoken to and talked like that. So
yeah, and Pete, I used to segue Tristan's question, I used to work in Las Vegas in a very high end steakhouse on the Strip, and I was a bartender, but I got, you know, working in that environment, you see each role, and the energy behind the line was very much like that. It was very militant. And back to Tristan's question, you would think, though, the energy that you put into the process would probably resonate in the outcome, right?
Oh, for sure. It's the whole thing. excuse me, I swallowed some water, it went down the wrong way. but it's the same thing. It's the produce that you use, how has it been grown? How has it been killed? How has it been prepared? I mean, all of these things come into play to a great deal. And I've worked in great kitchens where I've had 80s music blaring and we're all at a good time having a laugh and having a dance, you know, and we have a great service and the customers have a great night. I've also worked in kitchens where, you know, you've got an alcoholic drug addicted chef that's in charge of the kitchen.
It's very common.
And there's no cohesion and it's just let's just get the food out as quickly as possible so we can go home. And you know, it's everything is about intent. So, you know, I choose to, when I work in kitchens, is to have a great intention or intent that the customers are going to have a great time, and the chefs are going to have a good time, and the wait staff are going to have a good time. So, but you know, it doesn't always work that way because there's a team that work, and some people have had major issues that day, and others haven't.
Yeah.
But at least at home, if you're cooking for your mum like you're going to this week, you can put on a beautiful, beautiful spread. And at the end of the day, you can get out of your comfort zone and try a different recipe off Google or something and you know, show mum and say, hey, listen, I'll cook you up something special today. And it might be overcooked or it might be undercooked or it might be burnt or it might be this. But you know what? I've had a lot of fun making it.
Well, mate, when I do it, I'm going to text it to you. And I expect you to give me like a 9 out of 10, put me on in my kitchen rules. I'm ready to go.
That's what this is about.
It's about me getting on MKR.
Yeah, that's what this was about.
All right, Pete, we've come to the personality round of the show to wrap things up. Johnny's got the first question.
So Pete, just some advice to our listeners on, you know, when you're having those bad days, those difficult days, something that works for you, something they could use applicably?
Sure. Well, generally, it's the ocean. For me, it's and that probably doesn't suit everybody from their geographical location or their time situation. But for me, I generally try to get into the ocean or a pool or a bath or a shower. I find water is a great grounding and refreshing and cleansing way to sort of diffuse or cleanse away any negative energy. And, I mean, if you want to watch a wonderful film, and I put this on my social media recently, and I never really promote films because, you know, there's a lot of negative ones out there, but I watched a movie called Captain Fantastic recently, and the first 10, 15 minutes are just so profound, but there was a when he realizes the fellow, and I don't want to give away spoilers, but his wife passes away, you see him basically sitting or crouching under a waterfall, like really powerful waterfall, and just the symbolic nature of that really resonated with me, because it's sort of what I do as well. I look for water as a cleansing tool. So for me, I find any connection with water is running water or submersing yourself in water is a really good tool. I mean, but the one thing that everybody can do is take some deep breaths, and I mean, meditation or breathing techniques never be underestimated as far as getting oxygen through the body and calming ourselves down into a position of tranquility, I guess, if you want to call it, or rebalancing our system. So water and breathing would be my two things.
Hey, Pete, just on that meditation, how do you do yours?
It's an interesting thing, and again, I do not like to say one thing over another, because I've studied many different types.
Yeah.
I was 19 when I first, and this is going back nearly 25 years now, when I first studied transcendental meditation. I've learned that technique, and I think it's fantastic. I also studied under Sri Chinmoy, wonderful technique there as well. I also use modern day devices like the David Delight, pocket sort of headphones and glasses that you wear to help you get into the proper alpha or beta states. I also have done meditation through Deepak Chopra 20 years ago, where you get your own mantra. Yep. I've also done many, many different types of breathing exercises, and I tend to change them up whenever I do. And just recently, my beautiful wife, Nicola, has learned to do wonderful tea ceremonies through tea masters, Balin from All Matters of Spirit, and also her teacher. So the last week, I've had the wonderful experience of sitting across from my wife, usually naked in the morning, watching the sunrise, and we have a silent tea ceremony for half an hour before we start the day. And that's been very profound for me. But I also find going out for a surf is another form of meditation for me, or walking the dog, or playing with the dog, just sitting under a tree and being connected to the earth. So I don't really have one ritual that I do daily. Mm-hmm. I tend to mix it up from as often as I can. Yeah. And sometimes I don't do anything in the day, and I don't do meditation. And I'm fine with that. I never feel guilty about it. It's just however organically it manifests itself or that I put or create. So, and I think that's another thing, is never to feel guilty if you haven't created time or space for it, because we do live in a crazy time at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Pete, I'm going to take you back to your childhood, buddy. What posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
Posters? What did I have? I used to have movie posters. I've always been fascinated with the art form or the medium of movies, and it's still in my goal list is to direct and produce movies in the future. And actually, our documentary that we've produced is coming out later this year, so I guess I can tick that off the board, but I still would love to do a motion picture film that isn't a documentary. So that's still on the list. So I'm fascinated by really good directors such as Kubrick or Greenaway or Scorsese, of course, is fantastic.
Brilliant.
some of the European directors as well. I'm in awe of how they put together their movies and tell a story and use light and use sound and use the actors to convey emotion and tell a story. So that ever from a young age, I used to have movie posters up in my room, and Bruce Lee, or it could have been Empire Strikes Back, or whatever it might be. So that was me as a kid, fascinated by movies.
Yeah, I once took a history of motion pictures class in university, and was it introduced me to the foreign film. Have you ever seen Cinema Paradiso?
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I used to watch only foreign films.
Yeah,
for a few
what a great
years.
Flick!
I became a snog of Hollywood, and I just said, "Oh, I'm not watching any more Hollywood except for David Lynch, some art house or something like that." But I love French cinema or European cinema. I think Pedro Almodovar, if we're talking about great directors, I think is one of the beacons out there for pushing boundaries and exploring emotional, and also archetypal characters and these type of things that bring up emotion in us. There's not enough of it out there.
For sure, especially to express ourselves. Pete, if three of your closest friends were sitting in a room and you weren't in that room, what sort of things would they be saying about Pete Evans?
Oh, hopefully nothing. Hopefully they'd be talking about something more important. Hopefully they'd be talking about life and philosophy and what they want to do. So hopefully nothing about me.
All right, this last question is going to be interesting because you brought up some really interesting names today. All right, Pete, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. I'm assuming you're going to be cooking, but you've got 5 invites. They can be anyone dead or alive. It just can't be any family or friends. Who would you invite?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Because I always say, I've had that question asked 100 times, and I always say it'll be my wife and my kids, and my mother probably would be the my 5 people or 4 people and my animals, our animals to join us. 5 people to invite, living or not. Well, I definitely have to include, I really don't know. It's an interesting question. I'd like to have Stanley Kubrick there, the film director, because I think he's by far the best film director that's ever
A Clockwork
ever
Orange.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah, all his work is very powerful. JC would be an interesting one to have if he was ever existed. I'd like to understand the person behind that story. Mm-hmm. Talking about
Jesus, yeah.
I'm not religious in any way. I'm what you would call an atheist.
I thought you said Jay-Z.
No, JC.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I was like, Pete Evans likes hip hop.
No, but that would be interesting. But I'd like to bring up, some of these spiritual gurus or people that have been held in high regard. I'd like to just meet them face to face and find out if the stories are true. Who else?
You got 3 more, Pete.
Geez, you're really pushing it here.
The bottom of the barrel.
I'm not really. I guess Einstein would be an interesting cat to have there. Tesla, would also be an interesting cat to have at the table. And I should have some more females in there as well, because I'm fascinated by Nim, who was Henry Miller's muse, so to speak, who wrote some fantastic books. She was a French author who wrote about sexuality and relationships. I think she'd be a wonderful person to have at the table to explore. And I shouldn't have so many men at the table. I should have more women. So, we're talking about dead ones at the moment. So,
That's 5. All right, people at home, you can get following Pete at www.paleoway.com. He's also at PeteEvans.com. Find him on Facebook, Paleo Chef Pete Evans, Instagram, Chef Pete Evans, and of course, he's on Channel 7 on My Kitchen Rules. Pete Evans, you've been brilliant, man. Thanks for sharing the time with us, man.
Pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, thank Pete, you. Man. You be good. Have a good one.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Peace. See you, Pete.
Johnny, Pete Evans, my man.
Yeah, man. Like, this is another dude, celebrity chef. You throw that word around a lot, especially no matter where you live in the world, people are going to instantly gravitate, whether it's good or bad, I'm glad that we got to sit down with him and hear his insights on everything from business to wellness to the TV to the cameras and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm hungry now, man.
Yeah, right, dude? You got to get that curry popping.
Yeah, you got to get that curry popping. But just remember, guys.
That prawn curry pop.
Get cooking with love. Make sure you cook. And cook something that they love.
Yeah, and you know, bring that energy he was talking about is very important. You never want a mean person cooking you food. You could probably taste it, right?
Yeah. So, guys, really hope you enjoyed that episode. I think it was something different towards just what the focus has been on Pete over the last few weeks with paleo, paleo, paleo. We really wanted to bring a different side. Pete's super successful, and I think that will really help you in any of the endeavors that you've got going on
for
in
sure.
your life now.
Yeah, man. He outworks people. He's kind-natured and well-mannered, and he just wants to help people. And, you know, other than that, I think you put all those three things together, you're going to be successful.
Hell yeah. Guys, Johnny's social media before we go.
Yeah, guys, connect. You know, Johnny Stofko, all socials. Check out the new website, www.johnnystofko.com. Stay in touch.
Yeah, Tristan Cannell Fitness across all mine. We love the feedback. We love you guys getting in touch. So tag us on any posts that you've got on social media or quick send us in a quick email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and we'll make sure that we just make this show something that you guys just, you know, like tuning in every week for.
For sure, guys. Keep pushing us. We'll keep pushing you and keep bringing it.
Guys, remember to check out the Friday wrap-up show. We'll go into more detail about things that we learned from both Tim Sykes and Pete Evans. Coming up on the show next week, we've got Roe Singh, Ben Pekulski. The week after, we've got Mike Dolce and Buddy Morris.
Yeah, Murderer's Row of guests. A lot of great content for you guys and us to learn from. So stay tuned, stay posted, like and share, tell your friends about it.
Yeah, couldn't say it any better. I'll see you on Friday, Johnny.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.